Blog Talk Radio.
It's some scripture out. It's some filter out. It's some thought. Damn and censor. It's some scripture out. It's some filter.
Talk with Alex Okoroti. Welcome to another Talk Wednesday on the Naked Talk with Alex Okoroti. And hey, my name is Alex Okoroti, and you're listening to the Queen of Expression, and I'm coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of West Africa. Okay, so I always get a kick from always doing that. Be like, you know, it's always funny, like I'm coming from the heart of Africa. Hey guys, welcome to a brand new week on the Naked Talk. And yes, if you're just tuning in for the first time, well, this is the hub for real, authentic conversations with amazing, powerful influences from around the world. And like I always say every week, expression is a sign of strength and not weakness. And we do not apologize for, you know, being who we are and for thinking what we're thinking and for having the experiences that we have and for just really, you know, living and existing in our truth. And so, yes, it's all about being naked. It's about being authentic and being real and being open. And like everything open, you know, we welcome interaction and comments and observations and thoughts, and that's what this is. So welcome to the Naked Talk. Now, last week on the show, we had a really, really, really amazing show on Talk Wednesday. I had with me Kate Mary O'Brien, who joined me live. She joined me live all the way from Bali, Indonesia. And Kate Marie is an amazing visionary for bold leadership. And she is co-founders of Global Change, right? Game Changers VIP. And with her husband, Australasia's number one thought leaders in the world. And they've collaborated with some of the most amazing, greatest thought leaders of all times. And so it was nice to have Kate here on the show. And we're talking about facing your game-changing truth. And as usual, you know, my guests are always amazing. They just keep pouring like jewels in the virtual space. So she was here on the show, and we had a great conversation on our official website, as well as all our syndicated radio channels. So yes, you can catch the show. We're syndicated on, yes, you can listen to the Naked Talk on TuneIn Radio. We're on Stitcher. We're on Player FM. We're on Acast. We're on Pod Africa in Uganda. We're on the Good Radio Network in Canada. Of course, you can listen to, you know, the live channel here. You can go to our official website. We're on CastBox FM. We're on Radio Public. We're everywhere. Yeah, you can even listen on Apple Podcasts. So you have no reason whatsoever to miss the Naked Talk, right? You have no reason whatsoever. And of course, on Friday Radio Special, I had with me Jack H.M. Wong, who joined me live all the way from Singapore. And Jack is a serial entrepreneur. He's also a business coach and best-selling author of the book, How to Crack the Entrepreneurial Code. And of course, Jack was here. We also had another amazing conversation on Friday, and we talked about just entrepreneurship, and, you know, just a code of honor, and just so many other amazing things, and the three P's. So if you missed that conversation as well, don't forget, you can just head on, because we're live, right? And you'll listen to all the archived sessions on the show. And of course, as many others, I mean, you can check out our top 20. Oh God, we've had amazing conversations. And what is so beautiful about this is that no conversation is ever the same on the show. So they're just amazing people who are just basically blessing and empowering and influencing and transforming lives on the show. So today, this week on the show, this show brought to you by our amazing partners at Global Royale. Now, Global Royale is all about giving you a lifestyle. And, of course, you can find out more about them and tap into what they're offering in the real estate business. Go to www.globalroyale.biz and find out more about how you can take advantage of their portfolios and start building a lifestyle that you want. And believe me, I'm tapping into that. So, hey, amen to that. So, yes. And, of course, you know, we're also giving a shout-out to our partners, QTV Events. Now, QTV is all about putting together the finest A-class quality events. And, of course, you can find out more about QTV if you just go to their website at www.qtvevents.com. And I want to give a big shout-out to, you know, Esther, and just thank you so much, Esther, the amazing gift she sent me. She sent me this lovely, lovely, lovely package, right? And, you know, what was in it? Peter, what was in it? Okay, so Zinchi Naturals had sent me this amazing package, and they had their coconut dream, and then they had the carrot yogurt soap. And believe me, I've had a very stressful 3 weeks. And just to have that, you know, with my, you know, to help my self-care, you know, my self-care transformation, you know, I needed to, you know, just chill out a little bit from all the traveling and all the stress and all the working on film sets and doing it. Oh, there's just so much going on. So thank you. And if you want to find out more about them, if you're looking for the finest organic, natural beauty products, you need to check out Zinchi Natural. Make sure to go there. You can hook up with them on Instagram. They're on Instagram, so you just go to instagram.com/ZincherNaturals. Now, naturals with an S. So, yes. Well, today on the show, I cannot wait to talk to my very special guest and already here in the Vettel studio. Now, today on the show, we're definitely taking a road to transforming lives with my amazing guest. But just before I go to that conversation, I have to remember that today is, you know, International Day of the Girl Child, and you know, just, you know, people around the world are celebrating just the essence of the girl child. And you know, I'm grateful to, I live here in Nigeria. I'm from Nigeria. You know, first of all, I'm grateful to be alive and to be a woman and be able to do. Of course, we're hoping that, you know, more girls can get education and they can go to school and they have the freedom to be unstoppable and And of course, you know, I partnered with amazing, unstoppable women from around the world who put together this amazing global anthology called I Bared My Chest. And about the book, you can obviously go to www.ibaredmychest.com about what myself and Frankie Picasso, who's also the founder of Good Radio Network, what we're doing. And Anita Bushan, and I hope I'm not muttering their names. I'm African, so I hope I get a pass. Well, today we're talking about so much. Coaching has become a way for many professionals to achieve a specific personal or professional goal. Now, these guests have co-authored amazing number one best-selling book, The Book of Coaching, in which they share the yin and the yang of building an extraordinary coaching practice that transforms lives, the business aspect, and allows coaches to reach and enroll more clients. Today, I'm very excited right now to have joining me live all the way from the U.S. I believe you're joining from the U.S. He's an entrepreneur. He's also a speaker. He's an author. He is co-founder of Mind Valley and CEO of EverCoach. I'm so excited to have with me Adita Walker, and of course, his co-author as well, who is a global speaker in her own right, an amazing coach, and a best-selling author of the book Emotional Grief, Dr. Nita Bushan, who's joining me. Hi, welcome. Hello.
Hey,
welcome.
Alex.
Hi,
Alex.
Hey. How's it going?
And thank you for joining me live. First of all, I need to know, where are you guys joining me from? I know you guys are world travelers. You're always traveling. You have to kind of...
Well, we're actually here now in
Vancouver,
Canada. So we're in Los Angeles.
Okay, so you're in L.A.
Yes, in L.A. Finally, we planted some roots somewhere.
Okay, great, because I know, like I said, you're always trapped, pretty, very difficult to figure out where you are. So thank you so much for joining me. I know that you all are busy, spending some time with me and my listeners. And let me tell you this, I've been getting a lot of emails, like They all have questions for you. So, hi, Ashley. We're excited.
Hey, Alex.
They have a lot of questions. Okay, great. So, let me ask you this. Okay, so where am I going to stop?
Oh, no, you can go back and forth. We're super excited and super honored to join you and the listeners today. So.
Okay, great. So I'm just trying to make sure that I have the both of you, and you hear me, Junita. Do you hear me clearly?
We do both hear you. You do break a little bit sometimes, so we might ask you to repeat some questions in case we don't hear you properly in that moment, okay?
Okay, that's fine, and I just hope, you know. Hi, Edgy, do you hear me now?
Yes, this is so much better.
Okay. Okay, great. Sorry. So, like I said, we're on a three-way, right? I'm all the way in Africa. I'm in Nigeria. And the station is in New York. And you're somewhere in LA. So, hey, we're on a three-way, right? So, technology is great. Right. So, you know, it's great, but sometimes it can be a mess. So, we're just going to enjoy. The great thing about this show is that it's unscripted and it's unfiltered. So, hey, you know, if something happens, I'm just going to go like, you know what? Hey, you know, it's the Naked Talker. We keep it real here. So, we're having textures. I'm in Africa and I get a pass, right? So, I just want to make sure.
That's true. That's a big pass.
I get a big pass for that. So, I can say, oh, your technology is whatever it is here. So, but, you know, welcome to the show. And I'm just so, you know, I want to talk to you about so much. I've got so much to talk to you about. But let's just start with, and here's the thing, you know, one of the things that I like doing about this is because I always have incredible people on the show. Now, I know that, you know, I almost feel like I don't have to reel out a buyer. Do I need to reel out a buyer? I almost feel like I don't have to, you know, like introduce who, you know, Ajit is or who Dr. Nita is, because you both have been, you know, just basically taking over the space, you know, the transformation space. And you guys have been owning the space as, you know, amazing, powerful thought leaders in your own. Do you hear me?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hear me? Okay.
We do.
Okay, great. So let me ask you.
I think it's a New York station that's fiddling with the voice sometimes.
The New York
station. Because you can hear them too sometimes.
Oh, you can hear them sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes,
well,
yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to get better because, you know, they can't mess this up. Like, we've been, you know, I've been counting down the hours. So, hey, he's going to get fired here. You know, you can't afford to do this to me, not right now. Anyway, so let's talk about you, Ajit, a little bit. You know, like I said, you have an amazing bio. You definitely are owning this space as a powerful thought leader, you know, and you've definitely, you know, come into your own and built an amazing brand. No, not an amazing, several, right? And you've been part of, you know, just the development of a lot of stuff. And we'll talk about it. I'm trying not to kind of like put all the cats out, right? But who would you say is Ajit Nawalkar behind the buyer? You know, who's this man, who's the man behind all the amazing stuff?
Well, behind all the amazing stuff, I'm just Nita Bhushan's lover, I guess. But that would be the easy bio. I can say that for sure. That probably is one of the primary roles that I like to play, and I am in most of the time. The business stuff and the whole entrepreneurship stuff is fuel and is fun and joy and creates an impact out of the world, and that's fascinating. But As a human being, if I say who am I, I am my partner's lover. I am somebody who wants to do great things in the world. I'm a family man for my parents. I'm a friend for my friends, and so forth. So that's who I am as the man behind all the business stuff that the world sees. And that's really what my fuel is and what my joy is.
You know, I like how you just say I'm Nita's a lover, right? And we're going to talk a lot about, you know, love, because I know that plays a major role for.
I hear you now. Yeah, you lost for a second there. You said Nita's lover, and that plays a big role in our lives, which is so true, because those are value words, love and serve. So that kind of is where we play out from. That's the place we operate from, both of us. So love is definitely a key word for us.
Okay, Nita. Hi, Nita. Hi, are you there? Hello, beautiful. Hi. Hi, Nita. Is she there?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Well, I hear you, but I don't hear Nita. Nita sounds like she's not there. Hi, Nita.
You do you hear her better now?
I don't hear.
Hi,
Nita, hi. Okay, she sounds very distant, like she's... Is it? Okay, Nita,
we're,
hi.
We're cozying all up here, so in our office, which I wish we could see. But yeah, hi, how's it going?
Okay, you know, just before we get into this, and I need the listeners to understand that, I mean, first of all, the both of you are a couple, and you're married, you live together, even though you're business partners, and
yes.
You work together, you co-create, because that is important, you need to understand that you're both business partners, but you're also, you know, European apart, like, you know, you both live together. So I kind of have a feeling you guys are having another party there for some reason, like you guys are having a private party.
We kind of are. We have our tea, we're shy, and you've got a bulletproof
Okay, do you both get to do this together? Do you both get to, like, get on, like, do interviews together at the same time?
Well, actually, we're really excited because this is our first, like, interview together. Usually it's like, he's in the first
separate.
Hour, second, or, you know, yeah. So you are bold, and thank you for having us both together at the same time.
Yay! So we're gonna have a really good ride. I love that. Okay, so I was just talking to Ajit, and you know, I was trying to find out, you know, just who the man is behind the bio, right? And I mean, yeah. He did share a number of things. One of it is being your cozy partner, and and you know, sharing your, you know, and sharing, you know, your toothbrush and, you know, all other things. I don't know, but you know, he just talked about, you know, just how he comes up in the world. Besides just being this amazing entrepreneur that he is. And for you, you have a really interesting journey, right? You obviously, you know, you're speaking, you're traveling the world, you have, you know, you just birthed, I mean, you have a book, you know, best-selling book that came out last year. You started this global, you know, you started this really global campaign, this amazing, you know, pushing the message of emotional grit. And then now you've co-authored a book. But, you know, that's what we see on the outside, right? So who would we say, I mean, how would you define who you really are as a person?
Yeah, you know what? I would probably say I'm a lover of life. I'm a life enthusiast. I think that's the best way to kind of pinpoint that.
Hi. Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Okay, we lost someone. What happened? We lost somebody. Okay.
All here, actually.
We lost somebody. It's all good.
Who was that? Okay, so that was weird. Who was that? Like, you know, there was a... Okay, great. Anyway.
But whatever happened, now you're so much clearer, and we can actually listen to
you. You're super clear, which is great. So now we're really going to have fun.
Wow! So somebody was definitely getting into my feed. Who's that? And let me tell you, here's what's crazy is, like, there are people dialed in and their numbers, and I'm wondering where everybody... Okay, so... I'm glad you can hear me now. So that meant it was somebody was just getting, and I know that a lot of people are looking forward to this conversation because I've got any messages and emails and questions and WhatsApp, and I'm like, okay, you know, let's all take it down on that. But I'm glad you can hear me now. So somebody was trying to steal my shine. So you just share your, you mentioned that before, you know, the person got in your way. So I'm listening.
So, no, I would say, I mean, lover of life. I kind of like to call myself a life enthusiast and someone who has this insatiable curiosity for just, you know, seeing what else is out there. So I'm kind of like this Dora the Explorer, but, you know, now in adult form. It constantly is like, oh, what's this about? Free bird is kind of, you know, how I run by now. I think that there's so many different seasons as, you know, as women that we kind of go through. And for me, it's kind of the season of, you know, lots of phoenix risings, essentially, and rebirthing, awakenings, that sort of thing. So that's kind of who I am.
Okay, you say, and I think that it's okay to, you know, just kind of have that sort of now, you know, being an explorer, because we all really get to that point where we're afraid, right? We become so afraid that, you know, we don't want to take a chance on anything, and we're very guarded, and we're very, get guarded because we have things that sort of kind of like changes our perspective on life. And you can now become the person who's a free bird, right, and free spirited, and who's just looking. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, transformation. And I think that that is so important personally for me and, you know, for a lot of the listeners and for everyone, because we all get to that point where we feel we definitely need transformation. And with the work that you do, both of you do, whether as teachers or as leaders or as even entrepreneurs who are providing solutions to a problem, right, or as coaches and authors and all the amazing things you all do, definitely you're helping to transform other people's lives. But let me ask you this, you know, before getting to where you are right now, did you ever, like, what was it like? At what point did you, because you must have gone through a personal transformation yourself as well.
Yes, both of us have,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so at what point did you notice that your life needed some transformation?
You want to go first?
Well, there have been, I don't know if you know my backstory at all, but my backstory is I was born in India in a small town called Jaipur. It's, you know, like when you think of India, colors, dance, music, you kind of are thinking about that city. It's like full of palaces. But the way I grew up, it wasn't all those colors and dances. It was a little bit, I mean, they were there because that's India, but not to the same extent or as affluent as India may seem from the outside. I grew up in a small neighborhood in the old city of Jaipur with about 22 people in the house. So this is my extended family and everybody living together in the same house, which meant we didn't really have a lot of abundance in life generally, like no abundance of space, not really a lot of abundance of money too. When somebody grows up like that, they kind of are looking forward that something will change in life in many ways, right? You're kind of hoping for that something will work out. Now, in no way I can say that I was hoping for the amount of transformation I went through will happen. But I was always hoping that it will happen. And I think the first thing that I very clearly remember was one of the nights when what would happen is that in a house like that, especially in Indian houses, there's a lot of guests over all the time because we just love hosting. So there were a lot of guests always at our house. And one of the days, one of my uncles was over at the house and that because of so many people living in the same house, what would happen is somebody was coming over, our bedroom, which was also our study room, our playroom, in the night would convert to the guest room too. So all of us would be staying with the guests also in the same room and sleeping on the same bed, which was basically a mattress on the floor. So what would happen is one of the nights that one of my uncles was over, he was sleeping on one edge of the bed, and then in the middle was my elder brother, and then on the other edge, on the corner, which was against the wall, I was sleeping. Now, usually, you know how 14, 15-year-olds are, we're always, like, fighting each other, especially when they're two boys, like, always a crazy thing, right? I was maybe 12 or 13 at that time, and my brother's 3 years old, and we were just playing, messing around, but you know how boys can get literally physical when they're playing around even, right? So it's kind of fighting.
Yeah.
And so my mom storms out of her room and goes, "Ajit, stop." And I'm like, but it's my brother. He's not giving me any space, and I don't have any space, so I can't sleep. Like, you see how much space I have. And I know people sometimes judge this, but know that Indian families, Asian families generally have a loose hand, as we call it. We know how to in a fun way. I think you will understand that too, Alex, probably. Naturally, but some people don't understand that. So my mom had a loose hand, especially towards me. So I think I just needed a lot of disciplining in many ways. I was naughty sometimes. So what happened is I said, "Mom, I don't have any space." Is why, and so I was kind of like shouting back at her, and she slaps me across the face and I just go to sleep. And I kind of like any 12, 13 year old can kind of get mad at her, but I couldn't say anything. Right. Plus, I had a guest sleeping right next, and I had clearly lost the fight in my mind. So I kind of take the pillow, squeeze myself to the corner, and I put my face inside the pillow and kind of like, you know, start crying. And as I start crying, I don't know at what time I went off to sleep, but because I basically probably just cried my way to sleep or something. What I clearly remember is when I woke up, I was sleeping exactly how I had gone to sleep. Exactly, my position was exactly the same. And that's a vivid memory that time, that I don't know when I slept, I don't know the time that I woke up, but what I do remember is at that time I decided this cannot be my life. I cannot be living like this all through my life. I have to do something about it. I was too young to actually do anything about it at that time. I probably just lost life. But that memory stayed with me, and I think that that memory has had defined my life goal at a point, which is basically to get a house for my family and move them out of the house that we used to live in. I already hit that like 5 years ago, but that was like my big goal for my entire life because of that incident. Because I was like, we cannot be living where we have no space to sleep if an extra person comes into the house, right? So. That is the first memory that I have of a big transformative moment that kind of changed my understanding and my desire of what I want for myself in my life. And that's how my with abundance kind of started subconsciously and then also consciously in time as life progressed.
Wow. Well, you know what, Jade? You know, I just, first of all, I think it is great that we share this kind of stories because a lot of the times people really, you know, see where you are, right? And they see the just the amount of accomplishments, you know, the accomplishment that, you know, a person has and the success, but they don't really know where you're coming from and what really drives you, right? And just, you know, where, and so I think it's really great that you share. And I really know the thing about the loose hand because I think Africans were very similar. It's funny because I was I was in India and I was telling, you know, in May I went, you know, to the WEF and to WEF and I was telling a friend of mine, you know, in India, well, you guys, we're pretty the same, you know, we're very similar, you know, very multicultural, very, so I think that we're very similar in a way. So I know the thing about the loose hand, believe me, I used to get a lot of that when I was young. So what did you say? Sorry, I lost that. I missed that for a moment. What did you say?
You said you were at WEF this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the funny thing is that me and Nita, for the first time when we went on a date, was WEF last year.
WEF in 2016.
Oh, wow. 2016,
yeah, oh, wow. I was like, oh, we have a story around WEF.
Oh, wow. I would love to find out about that, and, you know, and that would be amazing. But, you know, it's, you're talking about just finding yourself growing up in this home where, I mean, you barely have space to sleep, right? And you have all these people intruding in your, yeah, let's call it intruding in your space. I mean, come your child, you want to have space to sleep. And, you know, you're getting blamed for not being able to go to bed early. And all you're thinking to yourself is, you know, we need to leave better. We need to have better. And, you know, and that definitely just changes your whole perspective as to the things that you want to achieve. And we went into the conversation about transforming your life. But Nita, I know you have your own story as well. I mean, you're coming from, you were born in Chicago, if I'm correct.
Yes, yes. Yep, born and raised in Chicago in the Midwest. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of, it's like right in between New York and California. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I have to say that most of my early childhood has been marked by some sort of, you know, challenge, transformation, adversity. And, you know, it's obviously what I teach and what I talk about a lot now with high-achieving humans or high-achieving people. Actually, I mean, it started, you know, my parents were immigrants, so, you know, first generation born here, and my father was from India, my mom was from the Philippines, and, you know, they came to the U.S. for, obviously, a better life, and they, so, you know, there's this inherent, you know, underlying pressure for a lot of the immigrants as parents, you know, coming to a new country. They want to be able to make it big. They a lot of times, you know, come not with anything, you know, from their respective countries. And so I'll start out with those
stories, but I think that the major transformation for me was, you know, and I remember it very vividly. It was, you know, December 31st, and it was, December 31st, 2011, where, you know, I'm sitting kind of in my bedroom. So like my master bedroom is a 5-story home. You know, I'm hitting every single, you know, pinnacle of success. And, but I'm in my bedroom, and finally I just kind of, you know, take a look at who I've become in the mirror. And, you know, it was barely recognizable. But you know, from the outside world, you see this girl, and she was, you know, she was a cosmetic dentist. She had a, you know, a thriving million-dollar practice. She had, you know, high-end clients coming all over the world to see her. She was married. You know, she had everything going for her. You know, to the outside world, she was, she had beauty, glamour, glitz, success, you know, this picture-perfect life. And, you know, here I am, December 31st, New Year's Eve, where, you know, all my friends are going out and celebrating. And I am, you know, I'm staring at the mirror. I'm terrified for my life. I'm not only emotionally exhausted and spiritually dead and physically beat, but I'm terrified for who I was with at the time, and how I actually let myself into, you know, abusive marriage. And so it was, you know, it was that night where I had to make a choice of, you know, do I let this fear of people judging me, fear of, you know, leaving this marriage, fear of what will everybody think, fear of, you know, will I get killed? Because these were real, real fears. So, and it was in that moment where I knew I had to make some really, really tough decisions, which was, you know, do I keep living this lie of this fraud of a life, you know, that I had built, because on the outside, I was 29 years old, and, you know, after losing my mother, my father, and my brother, before I was 19, you know, to the external world, I had made it. I had made it, and then some, you know, but I had faced such an identity crisis for myself that I didn't know who I was anymore. I had reached, you know, all of these, you know, the doctor, the, you know, everything else. And so I packed my bags, packed whatever I could. I called 911. I set out in my car that I was living in for, you know, for the next few months, until I figured myself out. But, you know, that was the biggest transformative moment, because it was in that moment, even in my car, that I realized, you know, this is like, I had been living my life for everybody else. I've been living my life for what my deceased parents had wanted me to be, you know, for being a Filipino Indian girl, you know, your choices, and I'm sure Nigerians are the same. But you know, you have to be a doctor, dentist, lawyer, engineer, you know, and that's the career choice. And I had done all of that, but that was not really, that wasn't me anymore. You know, my mom was a pageant queen. It was expected for me to be beautiful and smart. So, and it weighed so much on my soul, because I didn't even know what it meant. You know, you asked, who's Meetha? I didn't know back then, you know, in 2011, that I was curious. I just thought I needed to memorize facts and, you know, make a lot of money. So, you know, in the years to come, I would then leave my lucrative career. I would retire as a dentist. I would sell my practice. I would move cross country to Silicon Valley, to San Francisco, and really chart this discovery for myself. Really, you know, tap into the little girl that had to grow up at 10 years old. You know, 10 years old, that's when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then, you know, out those, you know, formative years of my life, 8 years, I lost more people than people lose in their lifetime in a span of those. And then, of course, inheriting, you know, a brother as my youngest brother as my child, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a lot of undoing, I should say, that has led me to this point of true letting go, true healing, true figuring out what works for you and not what, you know, the bells and whistles of society, or, you know, all of the legacy and all the accolades and all of that. You know, how do you leave that and chart your truth? And so, I mean, this is perfect because we're just getting naked here.
Yes, you know, and I love that, you know, we're having this conversation because, like I said, it's very easy for people to just check out, you know, it's very easy. All you have to do is Google, right? So you can just do a Google search and you can say, who are these people? And oh my God, they're doing all these amazing things and they're successful and they're all. But at the end of the day, what really drives us is who we are on the inside, right? And that's not what a lot of people get to see. And only a few people are lucky enough, willing enough to just operate from, you know, the very open self, right? Or naked self, if I were use that word. So for me, it's, you know, yeah, you know, what's the point? You know, I don't always come and read buyers because it's, you know, I want to know. Usually everybody here is an influencer and usually every guest is powerful. So, and while people would, you know, they can easily click and get to the website and find out who they are, more of that, it's important to connect to people and see what really drives them. And I truly understand what you've been through because I personally been, you know, in the same position myself. You know, again, people on the outside think, you know, this is, you know, it's all great. You have it all good. You're successful. You're beautiful. You're, you know, in a marriage and you're this. Then there's a part of you that's broken. But, you know, I love that there's such a huge just, that conversation, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Cool.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. You're listening to The Naked Talk. It's so uncensored. She keeps it real. She keeps it straight. She tells it like it is, no matter who's afraid to bear.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. Okay, we're back. Well, welcome back to Alex Okorji. And if you're just tuning in, well, my name is Alex Okorji. It hasn't changed, and you're listening to The Queen of Expression. And I'm coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. And just before we went on that little commercial break, you know, I've been talking to my very, very special, amazing guest who are joining me live all the way from L.A. He is a serial entrepreneur, business coach, speaker, author, and he is co-founder of Mind Valley, as well as CEO of Evergreen. And of course, we have our Dr. Nita Bushan, a global speaker. She's also a coach and a best-selling author. And just before we went, you know, on that, you know, break, we've been talking about their transformation, their journey, you know, coming this far. I mean, we know so many amazing things about them, but we also kind of just wanted to get into who they really are. And, you know, Ajit was, you know, just very, you know, he shared his just his journey, you know, coming from that town in Jaipur in India. And, you know, Nita also shared her journey getting to where she is right now. I know that a couple of people, if you're connected to the show, and I know that our in-studio chat room isn't open live today, but you all have been sending me messages, gosh, like emails and stuff. And I hope that we even have enough time to even cover it. But if you want to join the conversation, maybe you want to ask a question, you want to comment, you want to say something, don't forget that you can call into the show. Now, the number to call is +642-1693. If you want to call in, plus plus one. Make sure to dial plus one if you're calling from outside the U.S. If you're calling from within the U.S., dial as a local number. Call 323-642-1693. And don't forget to use your hand-raising effect. Make sure you press one so we know that you want to speak, and we will definitely connect you into. And if you're tweeting, make sure to use hashtag TheNakedTalk. And, of course, your tweets will be read right here on the show. Hi, Nita and Ajit. Welcome back.
Hi, Alex. Hi, everybody. Glad to be back.
Okay. Okay, great. So just, you know, before we went you know, on the break, you had been talking about your journey, you know, just you growing up in, you know, in Chicago, and just, you know, the life that you had, you know, having this beautiful, successful life on the outside, but, you know, on the inside, you definitely, you know, had lost a part of you, and you had to give all of that up to basically move and just, you know, have the life that you have now. So let's talk a little bit about just and this is for Ajit, you're there, right? So let's talk about when you fell in love with entrepreneurship. When did you decide that, you know, you were going to create something of your own or be part of it? And because, again, for a lot of people, you had a dream, you know, you had this vision to definitely get out of the life you were in and create something for your family and provide for them the kind of dream home that you wished you had had at the time. But at what point, how did you now sort of get into the part that you are now as an entrepreneur?
So the fun part is that when the way I grew up, kind of, I was conditioned to actually become an engineer. That, like any other Indian person, you either become an engineer, a doctor, or then an accountant, or something to that tune. Mm-hmm. A safe profession, as you would think. So for when I was younger, that's what I was aspiring to. I was supposed to be an engineer, a computer engineer, to be very specific, because that was the hot thing at that time. Everybody had to be a computer engineer at that time. So that's what I was aiming to be when I actually was still in my high school. I was studying for that. And while I was studying for that, and I'm really blessed that I have really supportive parents, and they love me really a lot. So mm-hmm. What happened was, while I was pursuing my way towards engineering, I realized that I just really, I liked the science. I didn't like mm-hmm. the way it was taught and what I was supposed to, like what was expected of that. So I really loved, actually loved math, I loved physics, but I hated the exams because I was like, I couldn't ever perform in them, not because I could perform if you would just talk to me and like we really talked about it, I would be one of those guys who can sit for hours trying to solve an equation because I'm having fun with it. But I could not do exams and, you know, like cram things into my head and then spit it out on a piece of paper. That just wasn't me. And so I was getting really frustrated. I was like, this is not for me. I'm not really having a good time. And while preparing for these exams, one day I wrote a letter to my father, actually. Like, we used to live in the same house, but I wrote a letter to him explaining why I can't be doing this. And by the way, my father still has that letter because it was a very emotional letter that I said, I really cannot do this. I know this sounds really wrong. I'm summarizing it, of course. It was a long letter. I know this sounds really wrong, and it goes against everything that I have worked for, but this really is not something I like to do. I'll make something of my life. I don't know what it will be, but I'll make something of my life. And like I said, my parents are really loving, and especially my father, because my mom's love sometimes shows up as a slap across the face, like I said. But my dad's a very understanding man. So that was like where I made that switch of not becoming an engineer. But what most people don't know is, even if I was living in a house of 22 other people, everybody in the house was an entrepreneur. So everybody had a business of some sort. Either they were freelancing somewhere or they had businesses. Mm-hmm. They were mostly gems and jewelry set up. Like my dad was also a businessman, is also a businessman. So I kind of grew up in the environment, seeing business around me all the time, but I was never told to do business. It was pretty insistent in our family, because we were not very successful in business, is that this is not a good idea to do. You should try to get a good job and have a great career.
Yeah.
Right? The stability of work is what you should be looking for. So I think naturally I had inclination towards entrepreneurship. But for the longest time, I resisted the idea of starting a business because I wanted to be safe. And that's what everybody in my family was saying, is the safe way to do things is to get a job. So I think I had the love affair without knowing I had the love affair with entrepreneurship in a way, all my childhood, looking at everybody doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it seems so fascinating that and gems and jewelry, something like this is how the flow is, where people would come to your house, they would have some tea, house or office, whatever. My grandmother had cancer, so my dad used to work from the house because he was taking care of his mother. So what would happen is he would operate business from the house, and the business would work literally like something like this. People will come, they'll have tea, they will talk, and by the end of the conversation, without even talking about business during the conversation, somehow by the end of it, they would have had a deal or not had a deal. So it was like, okay, so it's super chill because you show up, you talk, and somehow you have money to buy things, right? So, like, this is fascinating. I definitely want to do this. And then, and the second fun part about it was that he could do it at his own time. Like, my grandfather was also in business, and sometimes he will go in the afternoon, come back for lunch, and just hang out until evening, until mm-hmm. people come again. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
so like, okay, this is definitely something that is interesting. It seems to have a lot of freedom. They get to do whatever they want. They get to go wherever they want. They get to stay at home if they want. So, like, this seems like the perfect Candyland that I'm looking for myself. So I think my love for business was unknown until the greater part of my life. So I did jobs. But pretty much every single job I've done ever, I've ended up in a business partnership with the person who actually is the owner of that company. Pretty much every single one of them. I've either started a company with them, I've started a partnership with them, either they've worked out or they've bombed, but it has always, 100% of the time, happened that I end up doing a partnership with the person that actually owns the company that I get employed with first, and then eventually we become founders, co-partners, start new businesses together, you know, that kind of thing. So I think my inclination has always been there. I've never, like, there's no point where I discover it again, but I think my fascination for life and fascination for, and the curiosity for things has always kept me in the interest of saying, oh, I can only try and exploit my curiosity or satisfy my curiosity if I own the thing, because otherwise nobody will let me test those crazy ideas that I have sometimes. So I think that's where my journey on entrepreneurship comes. It wasn't a moment. It was, I think, it was my love affair started at home.
And, you know, you say this, and I totally can, you know, connect with that, because, again, it's funny because, you know, I did something, someone was asking me, you know, Alex, when did your, you know, entrepreneurial, when was your first stint? And it just occurred to me that, you know, this isn't something that just started, right? This is, you know, and again, you know, Africans and Indians are probably very similar in a way. It's funny how we don't realize how similar we are, but we pretty much are. And, you know, I remember walking at a day job, my mother's business, when I was 11. I also understand what you talk about, the freedom, because I remember the first time my mother made her first one, you know, she worked at Supreme Court for like 15 years, and when she left to start her fashion business and her fashion store, the first time she moved to a thousand, she couldn't work at 2 years. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm at home. And like, why you're at home? She's like, I made so much money, like, I have to go home. Like, and she had to go home at 2 p.m. just because she had made so much money. So I guess, you know, you're talking about the freedom that entrepreneurship gives you. I guess, like you said, you know, your dad could go, your uncle can come back for lunch, and you then go back. They had that freedom. Amazing. But now let's talk about this. I know that, you know, in the process of, you know, having to work with people, you had some really great influences in your life, right? And you probably had coaches, and we're going to talk about coaching, because coaching has become a really, really, really important medium for just helping to transform their lives. And they're just, and you've built a business. You're the CEO of EverCoach. So let's talk about just how EverCoach came to being. And who, you know, some of the influences that have been, you know, that were in your life, you know, helping you to transform your life, especially as a business person and as an entrepreneur?
I've had so many influences in my life that it would take us maybe another 2 hours for me to go through each one of them and the influence I've had in my life. But what I will do is I'll maybe mention a few that have had significant impact at different stages of my life, because that probably will explain the love that I have for coaching as a business and so forth. So first of them was my grandfather. And that was, I wasn't aware how much he had influenced me making the decision of starting to have a coach until recently when we wrote a book called The Book of Coaching, which we just released and is getting great responses right now. What was the case was that people would come to our house sometimes in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Sometimes they would come with family. Sometimes they would come with their business partners. And they would sit in what we would call the palace. That was the room that was called the palace because my grandfather's room was that. Like he would live in that. That was his bedroom. You know? The bedroom in the guest room and somebody came to see him. Like, you know, how the situation in the house. So then people would come to see him. They would go to the palace. And in the palace, what would happen is my grandfather would sit down with them and we'll talk to them for hours. He would tell them stories. He would tell them metaphors. He would listen to what their challenges. He would offer solutions. And for the longest time, I could never understand, like even until I was older, I was like, okay, so people just like him, right? That's the informal way of coaching. That's what he was doing. Right? He's passed now. He's passed now. So I could have never tell him this, but he had a major, major impact in my life because I realized that what I really idolized about him was that these people would come, he would talk to them, and they would come sad or angry or frustrated, and they would walk home with joy and pleasure and feeling fulfilled or whatever he did worked out for the people, and that's why they kept coming back. Now, know that this was not my grandfather's profession. He was a jeweler by trade. He would just do this out of love and affection and kindness for the world. Right? So that was my early inspiration, which I discovered only later, that's why I am so passionate also to be able to change the coach's life. But later on, like any person who's had any success in life would say that it's never them being able to do anything. It was about the people who showed up and how they showed up and how kind and willing they were to really support the journey. For example, like in my high school, there was a teacher. Her name was Madam Neelam Sharma. And she was the vice principal of the school and the English teacher for us. And and I was a shy kid. I was you know, one of those backbenchers kids who did, like, I was average. I wasn't brilliant and I wasn't really poor. I was average as a student. But I was a little notorious. I didn't really care about studying, like I already mentioned. So I wasn't like one of those kids that teachers would adore. But there was this one vice principal who once saw me speak on stage. For like in the morning, we had like this news thing. So you would go up on stage and you would say news and recite the news and so forth. So I would do this news segment sometimes and she would really encourage me after that. Like so much so that she would call me to her office and tell me, that I could be a news anchor one day if I chose to. Right. Which was a great, motivator for a person like me. Because like I said, at that time I was in that place where I had to study because that's what the world told us to do. But I wasn't really necessarily excited about what I was studying. I was excited about I was excited about the study. I wasn't excited about the school. Let's just say it that way. Right? So what happened was, when that happened, and because of that, I think it allowed me to have a lot of motivation to continue to explore opportunities and make that decision of saying engineering is not for me. I should try something else because I had mentors like herself. Then many other mentors showed up. I'm in the student organization I joined called ISEC. It's a global student organization, phenomenal one. And there were a lot of mentors that showed up during that time. A lot of coaches showed up during that time. These were people I wasn't even paying because I couldn't afford them, to be honest. Even if they asked for money, I would have to say I didn't have the money for them at that time. And so they showed up. Then a lot of teachers showed up, which sometimes, you know, is confused between coaches and teachers. Like they kind of play similar roles. Sometimes an educational program, I studied a lot of work from Tony Robbins, a lot of work from Bob Proctor, a lot of work from the Silva Method. I've studied with Lisa Nichols. Of course, my business partner Vision has been a great mentor for me. A lot of my friends have been great mentors for me. Nita, my life partner, has been a great mentor for me. So there have been so many coaches that have showed up in my life that it would be hard to acknowledge just one of them. And the inspiration of starting EverCoach came through when I was going to these events. So, you know, I was with Mindvalley. I had started some other companies with Mindvalley at that time, like Mindvalley Italy and so forth. There were a couple of companies that I had started, and they were all doing really, really well. But I was also at that time the CMO of Mindvalley, the chief marketing officer of Mindvalley. And while I was playing that role, I would go to these events where I will meet other teachers and other coaches, and I would be amazed how good they were at what they did, but how bad their businesses were run. Like, because they because coaches, right? What they're good at is coaching. They don't necessarily know how to run a business. They don't necessarily know how to build a team.
Sure.
Right? They don't know how to build a system. They don't necessarily know all those questions, answers. So I was like, what can we do as Mindvalley at that time, or as Ajit Navlaka, to be able to support these people? And that's where we started, and that's where my curiosity went in and then, and I started helping some coaches and teachers and trainers just out of love. There was no business model there. There was nothing there except saying, hey, how can I help? There was service and love involved, and that was pretty much it. And soon I realized that I can only help those many people. And the best way to do this greater is to build an ecosystem where I bring the best teachers who can help these teachers and educators and coaches and help them build their businesses even more. So that's kind of where EverCoach was born. And of course, like I said, I end up always partnering with people that first sometimes employ me, or we start as just friends. And so I ended up doing a partnership with Mindvalley, so EverCoach became EverCoach by Mindvalley.
Amazing. And I think that this is, I mean, that obviously just shows how much of a great business mind that you have, because it is one thing for you, for someone to end up, you know, start a certain kind of relationship with you and end up, you know, somewhere farther than they thought they were going to go with you. At least I can testify to that. I love hearing the story of how EverCoach, you know, started, and just how you've been able to partner with all of these people and come to where you are now, creative. Because, like you said, you know, there's so many coaches, so many experts, right, and influencers, and people who really understand their industry, understand the stuff they have to give, and are willing to guide people and support people and help them, but don't really know how to create a business out of that. They don't understand how they can integrate an actual business. And
I see heaven, what can I see cry? What I'm feeling, I know deep in my heart. This is love, I knew right from the start that I will be your girl. Only love you can get old. Yeah, baby, can you be old? Hey, baby, oh, my love, my heart sings, oh. Oh,
Yes, and that was My Love by Ashion Yen, singer, songwriter, filmmaker, all-around amazing superwoman, and she's been a guest on this show. Well, if you're just tuning in, well, this is still the Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji, and I had to go pray to the gods of technology because apparently some people, you know, try to kick me out of my own show, and they don't want me to speak with my very special guests who are joining me live all the way from L.A. in California, USA. And you know, just before I got kicked off, you know, Ajit, my very special guest Ajit Nawalkar and Nita Bhushan, you know, have been sharing their amazing story. And, you know, Ajit was just talking about what it is like to be an entrepreneur and growing up and, you know, just basically following the path that he has and just how he's been able to sort of basically co-found some of the companies and partner and work with, you know, some amazing people. And, of course, you know, have amazing mentors and coaches and that. Hi, Ajit. Hi, Anita. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
Sorry
about
that. Oh, my God. You know, oh, God. I had to go pray to the gods of technology. Like, you know, while you were just sharing so much jewels on the show, you know, I got kicked off. And I'm like, God, what is this? You know, just because I'm in, you know, wherever I am. Anyway, thank you so much. I know we don't have so much time, but let's kind of like just, you know, make the best of, you know, what's left. So let's talk about the book of coaching, because I know that this is something that a lot of people are interested in. Everyone who's listening today wants to know really about this amazing book that you both have co-created. So could you just tell us a little bit about what this book really is about and what we can find and who this book really is for?
So like I was talking about before we got into the break and the whole tech situation, we got really passionate about coaching. And I both are really, really passionate about coaching because we've had so many coaches impact our lives so deeply that we felt that there was a need from whatever background that they come as coaches, there is always that scope of growth and there's that scope of really progress. But there's one special community, the new coaches, the community where the coaches has under 4 or 5 years experience, where they are considerably lost. They're considerably unsure of where they're going. They don't really know their message. They don't really know what to do. And there is just so much noise that is out there in the world that they get confused and lost and unsure. And so kind of in that place where they kind of start to give up really early in the career to really pursue this direction of coaching. Like we already discussed, coaches are important. And when I say coaches, I include educators, teachers, mentors, so my coaches in companies, authors, speakers, I include all of them because they do play some type of role out there in the world. So more coaches are required. It's a good balance to society. This is how we as society will continue to progress because we are able to facilitate more change and facilitate a lot more conversations around positive momentum for the world. And coaches and teachers and educators, speakers, authors are people who can help do that. So we said, how can we create something or what can we create that is easy to access, but it's something that you can use again and again to keep making progress in your life, right? And that's where me and Nita collaborated to write this one book that helps you through and through, irrespective of the state of the career you are at, but especially if you're a new coach or a new teacher or a new author, a new new speaker, especially for you, this would be a book that would be your guidebook that will always stay by your table, stay by your bedside, stay by whatever you want to access it again and again, because it gives you a considerable amount of tools, techniques, strategies, mindsets also that will help you make progress in coaching career, coaching, teaching, speaking career. And what we've done is one big difference that we wanted to have for the community was not to really create a book that is, you know, that is like any other book where it feels like, oh, so this book is the end all be all. But that's because that's not possible. Progress and coaching and teaching is something lifelong journey. You have to practice all the time. What we created is something that not only gives you the key strategies, the key tools, the key insights, but also gives you the tools that allow you to keep making that progress. So the book is just your beginning. That will stay with you for a long time, but the book also gives you the direction to take your next steps and what could be a possible next step, what could be your possible next action step, what could be your next training, what could be your next program, what could be your next event that you want to go to, and so on and so forth. So we didn't only book to just give you just one directional information. We picked from best of the best in the industry. We put best of the ideas. We put it together in a book, and then we added tools to it so you can actually take these learnings and implement them. And we brought somebody like Nita, who is not only somebody who has studied human psychology, but she has studied human behavior. She's interviewed like 500 leaders across 25 countries or so to really get the essence of what makes us as human beings tick. And that is so critical as a coach to understand how our human beings working and operating. So I want to have Nita tell about her research and about how how this and emotional grid even came about a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, just to kind of add on to what I was saying, Alex, is that I think we're globally, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, but globally, people and young people are starting to wake up, and waking up in the sense of realizing that the definition of work, you know, has changed. It's not just, you know, you're at a 9-to-5 or like you and I talked about earlier, you reach a of success, and now you kind of want to do and chart your business on your own in whatever way that works for you. And so because that definition of work is now changing, and it's changed so fast, being able to have the essential, the skill set to kind of serve somebody and transform and help somebody, whether it's in your home as a single mom, or just to add to the repertoire of skills as a leader or an entrepreneur, those basic skill sets of relating with other human beings are so wildly important. And, if we're ever at a time where we, should be creating ripple effects in the world, we might as well teach other humans, how to elevate human potential, because that's essentially, if you're listening to this show right now, you are one that is an entrepreneur looking to make change in some way. And this book is kind of just that avenue you were ever, curious about doing so, because it gives you those skills in emotional intelligence, human psychology. I mean, my best-selling book, of course, was launched a year ago, but a lot of the foundational principles of the book of coaching, lies within understanding your emotional health and well-being. And so when we actually that journey, that awareness, that opening, whatever that crack is for you, that's when you can kind of start looking at things and thinking, well, hey, actually, a new chapter, a new leaf of myself can actually be in a different light. And whether it's coaching or mentoring, speaking or just utilizing some of these skill sets, I think it's so profound to actually have that backbone. And which is why, it was such a beautiful kind of marriage in this way of merging kind of our talents and, of course, Ajit's business sense, and then my love and passion for human beings and human emotion to create a transformation book that can give people, just a different glimpse of what it could be like in the world that we're living in now. And that if you wanted to, you can actually take, you can take it to the next level and actually create a career out of it and have that a little bit more freedom for yourself as well, while doing things that you actually love.
Amazing. I think that this is, just, and I think it's great that both of you are able to put your superpowers together, right? And to just create this amazing, powerful book. Because like you said, Ajit definitely has an understanding of, the business angle of what it is to create a business, and you understand the psychological aspect as well, and to merge that together. And not only is this, because it's very easy for people to think, okay, I'm not a coach, so I don't need this book. But like you said, this book is for, and we're all coaching one way or another, whether you actually do have a coaching practice or you're speaking to a group of people, or you're sharing your message in a book, you're definitely, whether you're sharing a message in a book, people are going to read it and apply it and, assimilate and internalize it. So you're coaching in a way, whether you're a traditional educator or you're even an artist or creator, whatever you're creating, whether you work in a company and you have employees and, you know, people, I guess that this book is meant for them. But let me ask you, if there is a takeaway, if there is one thing that you would say that is definitely something that is definitely something that people would get reading the book in terms of a clarity, like if there was anything or just from the feedback, because there's been a lot of feedback, and I've been looking at the, you know, just the reviews and people think, oh, wow, this is not only a book for now, but a book for the future. So if there's something that, let's say somebody who is just starting out, who pretty much didn't know anything, what is the one thing that, you know, that would be, like you think in the book, I know you're the author, but you think that they would find to be beneficial to them in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few, but, you know, if I have to kind of, like, fight for because we have to go soon, you know, we all coach, whether or not we recognize mm-hmm. it, we all do. You know, we coach mm-hmm. as a friend because we care. We coach as a mother because, you know, because you're listening. You know, we coach as a mm-hmm. colleague to solve problems. We coach mm-hmm. as a leader. Mm-hmm. fix things. And so, and to make, you know, to make things around us better. And so I think all of us in our own mm-hmm. right, whether you're a coach or not, I think it's that skill set of really looking at yourself and just saying, you know, and having the awareness of just relating better with mm-hmm. other humans. I think so much, mm-hmm. you know, in our relationships alone, we don't know how to really communicate effectively. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, there's all of these, like, and, you know, nasty feelings that, you know, harbor up and bubble up and all of these things. But mm-hmm. if we can know how to ask powerful questions and how to listen and how not to judge and how, you know, how not mm-hmm. to criticize, you know, mm-hmm. these powerful takeaways of just really having the ability to look more at yourself, I think that mm-hmm. is really profound. You know, all the business stuff, you know, comes as a result, but those are the, you know, some of the major takeaways of how can you actually relate better with other human beings.
I love that. I would add to that by adding one. What happens is when a coach starts, a lot of times they kind of get lost because they don't know what to expect and what's the stage they're at and how can they expect success mm-hmm. and when they expect success and what, you know, at what time, what should I expect kind of scenario. And that creates a lot of overwhelm mm-hmm. and anxiety for a coach. So we wrote a very specific chapter, mm-hmm. the chapter 31. We call it Stages of Success, where we talk about four different stages mm-hmm. that a coach goes through. The soldier, the knight or the dame, the princess, the prince or princess, the king and the queen. These are the four stages that we talk mm-hmm. about. We actually explain what each stage looks like, feels like, what's the thing that you should be working on, what you should expect, how many years mm-hmm. you should expect at that stage. So that way people kind of lose that anxiety mm-hmm. that they might have toward their growth or any kind of anxiety mm-hmm. going, I'm not good enough or this is not enough successful, so on and so forth. So we kind of have a chapter. So I would mm-hmm. say if nothing else, if somebody gets that, I think as a coach will be really helpful because a lot of anxiety goes away and they can invest their time in actually doing the work, like Nita said, on themselves and their practice.
I think that is so powerful because there's nothing like having a blueprint, right? Like, you know, some sort of guide that helps you know that, okay, at this particular point, this is how you're going to feel and this is what to expect. And, you know, this is, and I think that a lot of people are definitely going to be interested in just finding out more, you know, what they can get. But let me ask you this. What is the, you know, how can people get access to the book? You know, where can they get the book and, you know, where can they find the book?
There's two ways. Firstly, where you're at, because
yes,
the thing is that right now while we're promoting the book, we are giving away 3,000 copies absolutely for free. Like we're taking care of the cost of the book. All we expect people to do is to take mm-hmm. care of shipping. So we are shipping from the States. Sometimes it can get really expensive. If mm-hmm. you are in the United States, the best way to order mm-hmm. is go to evercoach.com/book-of-coaching. Or just Google EverCoach and Book of Coaching, and I'll link those to you. And the books are all for free. You just have to pay for shipping.
Until they run out.
until we run out, of course. So it's only a couple of days that will be available. And that would be a great way for anyone in the States to be able to order. I'd probably even in Canada to order. If that's something that is not the scenario, you're international and you're not willing to pay the shipping fee because that is a little bit expensive. It's for Canada, I think it's like $19 for international, it's like $29. So it is a little bit expensive international. What I would suggest is either you order from Amazon if that is operating in your country, because we do have Amazon books, or you can order the book on Kindle and you have a digital copy right there. When you order the book with us, we of course give you some bonus modules. We send you a digital copy. We send you a physical copy. So you have a lot more benefits if you order from the website, which is just simply Google EverCoach and along with my book of coaching, and you should get the link.
And for every single person listening, we also are inviting them onto the online experience of the book of coaching that goes along with the book. So all of the worksheets, all of the extra fun little tidbits. And so, yeah.
That's where you can go get the book.
Okay, so. Okay, great. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm just trying to, because, I mean, yes, we do have listeners here in, you know, I mean, you know, I'm in Africa, but then, of course, we have listeners around the world as well, Lindsay, and there are Africans who are in the diaspora, and, of course, they are, you know, of course, we also have, like, you know, really foreign audience, because the station as well is in New York, so. So I'm also thinking of how I'm going to get the book. All I was trying to think of, okay, where do I get the book? Where do I get the book? Because I definitely want to get a copy of the book, and I want to read it, so I was like, okay, where do I get the book?
We
what did you say?
Copy, Alex.
Send us your physical address. You have our email address. Send us a physical your address. And your yeah. Absolutely. It's
yes,
so
that's what I get for being the host. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ajit and Nita. I know that, you know, we lost a bit of time just trying to get this to work, but I'm so happy that you came here. And I would love to invite you guys again. I would love to invite you guys maybe to a roundtable conversation, and I like to do that sometimes, you know, have a couple of influencers, and, you know, we can talk some more. So, you know, I know that people can connect with you on your website. We have your website linked, so all they have to do is click on your name, and they can go to your website and find out more. Right, Ajit. But any final words, just, you know, before we wrap this up? This is, you know, just for, you know, the coaches and people who want to transform lives.
It starts with you. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you've already made a commitment to listening to, you know, the wise wisdom today. But it always starts with you. And Alex, this was amazing. We would love to be back again and do another Naked Talk.
It was fantastic.
I would love to get you guys back. I would love to get the both of you back again, that's for sure, because we still have, you know, there was so much I wanted to talk to you about, and I got questions. So I'm going to save your questions for another time, because there are a lot of the questions we could take on the show. Thank you so much, Ajit and Nita. You guys, both of you have been amazing. Amazing.
It was super fun speaking.
Okay, guys, so till we are, this has been just an amazing, amazing show, talking to Ajit Nawalkar and Dr. Nita Bhushan, both of them joining me live from LA. And I know you guys had, all of you sent so many questions we couldn't take, but we're definitely going to find a way to bring them back on, and we still have so much to talk about. Oh, God, you know what? You have amazing people, time runs so fast. So till we come back again on Friday Radio special of the Naked Talk with Alex Kurti. I love you for listening. Ciao.
It's some scriptures out. It's some filters out. It's some thoughts. Damn and censored. It's some scriptures out. It's some filters out. It's some thoughts. Damn and censored. It's some scripted out. It's some filters out. It's some thoughts. You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorsky.